The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you find Christians to be so judgmental, and in doing so, don't they violate the Bible's command to not judge? Well, yes, my friend, there is a verse in the Bible about not judging. It's a well-known verse. It's a favorite verse with so many. Even people who haven't studied the Bible or barely read it at all, they know of this verse. Some of them can even quote it, but they usually don't know where it's found. And even if they do know where it's found, they usually read it out of context. It does say, "Judge not, lest you be judged." And I'll tell you where it can be found. It can be found in the 7th chapter of Matthew, but it's so often taken out of context. And it's not the only place in the Bible that talks about judging, interestingly enough. In fact, elsewhere in Scripture, did you know that Christians are actually commanded to make judgments? I'll bet some of you never heard that before. Everybody in life makes judgments, even you, my friend. In fact, the moment you say it's wrong to judge, you have just issued a judgment. Of course you have. You just called something wrong. And so, since all of us make judgments, I mean, who are we kidding? The only relevant question is, what exactly are we judging? Is it an appropriate judgment? Is it an inappropriate judgment? Are we judging it with information, or are we second guessing? Does this particular practice warrant a good judgment or a negative assessment about what's happening? Now, having said that, though, you are still partly right. There is also a kind of judgment that the Bible does forbid. So it's important to know what the Bible's forbidding and why, what the Bible allows and why. And we'll look at some of that scripture in just a few minutes. But first, all kinds of judgments are made when people are running for public office, especially if the candidate for president is accused of lying and could possibly have criminal charges filed against her. Hillary Clinton went before the Benghazi committee. She was with them all day. And so, of course, I was in there tweeting my brains out. Probably wrote 5, 6, 7 tweets. But actually, I'm only going to read one of them because only one created a storm of controversy. So this one tweet ended up being so important that I think this tweet deserves our song. Yes, it's time for another episode of Tweets with your old pal Bob.
It's a sing like the birds sing. Tweet, 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 tweet. It's a sing like the birds sing. Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Okay, ever since I saw these hearings, I kept hearing about what a wonderful job Hillary did. So here's what I tweeted. Committee nailed Hillary as a liar. No matter to mainstream media, all we will hear from them is how composed she looked. Actual answers? Who cares? All right, that flood of controversy. Before I get to the controversy, though, I always like to tell you when somebody liked one of my tweets or articles or radio shows. I guess I just like hearing about the people that like it more than the people that don't like it, but I read both. I do, and you know, the ones that don't like it and argue with me, that does make for better radio. But better radio or not better radio, you're going to get it all. So let's start here. Let's see. Who liked it? John, Patty, Vicky, Jen, Diane, Ginger, Len, David, Al, to name some. They loved it. On Facebook, now I don't want to confuse you. I just mentioned that I wrote it on Twitter. So what the heck am I talking about Facebook for? Because on my Twitter account, Once I tweet, it automatically goes to my Facebook page, and any of my Facebook friends can read it. And some of my Facebook friends are Christians, and some of them are not, because I make friends with everybody. You don't have to be a Christian to be my friend. I'll friend you. You can friend me. Some of my friends, particularly some of the ones I went to in high school, are very conservative. Some have become real liberal, but they're all friends now. If it's somebody who I know is liberal, I'll never stick some conservative article on their page. But sometimes it goes through the regular timeline that if you happen to be on Facebook at a certain moment when one of your friends are, you can see it. And so sometimes people who I didn't send it to may still see it. And then, of course, there's all kinds of people that don't know me personally, but they know me through my radio show. And so there are a lot of people that are just following me because of the show, and they see it too. But anyway, Michael, as in Michael Housem, a good friend of mine who does his own radio show. I've been a guest on his show. He responded to that tweet, and he wrote, "The big lie. Hillary said she didn't blame the video on Benghazi, but she absolutely did." You'll recall that what happened is right after the attack in Benghazi, they claimed that somebody had made a video about Mohammed, that this stirred up a riot. It did stir up some uprisings in some places, but the Obama administration and the Hillary State Department knew immediately, it's been absolutely proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, knew immediately that that was a terrorist attack. That didn't seem to fit the narrative. This was back in 2012, you recall. It didn't seem to fit the narrative that the Obama administration had Al-Qaeda on the run. So they changed the story. That's been absolutely proven. But there were all kinds of other things, too, though. The fact that these people at the embassy were crying for help. 600 pleas in the days ahead and on the actual day. And we did not send them any help. And we even have some people that were on the site that said there were orders to stand down. So all kinds of strange things happened that evening. And that's what these hearings were all about. It's kind of sad that people come away saying, "Well, I think politically it was better for Hillary." But anyway, here's a couple of other people that still agree with me. We're still on the agreeable part. Brendan says, agreeing that she was nailed as a liar. "Now, if we can sell it to the people and avoid making Hillary look like a martyr, that's the trick." Well, it's a trick that doesn't seem to be being accomplished, Brendan, because people are buying the fact that she was a martyr. Poor Hillary was grilled for 10 hours. 10 hours. I guess they would have felt sorry for anybody that was being grilled. The question is, why was she grilled? Was it appropriate? Anyway, Jeannie says this, "Yeah, she's a winner. So used to her lies that it's true. Answers don't matter. Hillary, it does. Makes a difference to the family of those lost. So sad." Maureen, a little more feisty, says she married a liar, worked for a liar, and is a liar. Now, this one is from Tim. Tim and I seldom agree, but he's been on the show. He's called in several times, and we always have very fruitful discussions. I like Tim. I respect Tim. But here's what Tim wrote. "Nothing about these hearings changes any minds of those already on either side. As for us independents, at the end of the day, I think this was more to the detriment of the GOP committee members than any ground hoped to gain on Hillary. What was gained beyond preaching to the choir?" Okay, so let me respond to Tim first. Well, Tim, let's put the politics aside. Maybe the Republicans were preaching to the choir. Maybe it did hurt them politically. Perception has a lot to do with politics, but I would hope that more than the choir cares if our elected officials are lying to us. I mean, this isn't a little white lie like you tell your friend she has a nice-looking blouse when you don't really like the way the blouse looks. This is pretty harmful if our leaders are lying to us. Now, I'm not defending the Republicans. I myself am a conservative Democrat, but I'm a Christian first and foremost. And, Tim, I know from talking with you in the past, when you've called into the program, that you are a person of high conscience. And you say here you're an independent. I assume you mean you're registered with the Independent Party, and that's fine. I actually talked about independence a little bit last week. I mentioned at that time that from what I see, there are two different kinds of independents. There are the kind who think for themselves instead of marching in step, who are truly independent, where the word really fits them. But there are also the fickle, who have no idea how they're going to vote up till the end, who make decisions based upon who smiles or who looked the most composed, or my favorite, who sounds the most presidential, whatever the heck that means. Now, in your specific case, Tim, from all I've observed, even though we often disagree, you do seem thoughtful enough to make decisions based upon substance rather than a parent. And it's in that spirit, Tim, the spirit of thoughtful discussion, that I'm responding to you right now. So with that in mind, I partially agree and partially disagree with you. Not much was new, but perhaps you and I mean different things when we say that. No, not much was new, but by that, I don't mean that it was old in the sense that they still failed to nail Hillary. She was nailed a long time ago, the last time she was on the committee, and by certain things that surfaced from the CIA right away. She was proven a liar a long time again, so proving her a liar again was nothing new. But there were certainly a lot of new facts to reinforce the proof and offer even more facts, which provided additional records of the lies. All kinds of new things were brought to the surface because a court order had forced this woman to turn over emails that she was trying to hide. And why was she trying to hide them? Well, once we read some of the stuff, we see why, although I have a feeling we're just at the tip of a big iceberg. But that's okay. Never mind the rest of the iceberg. We'll just go with what we have. During those hearings, Hillary did not give one straight answer, not even one, at least not one on the real subject, not of anything important. She was caught in the middle of lies, and she often tried to get out of it with long speeches. They should have had a timer. And when she was ready to get derailed, she'd go into a long speech about how much she grieves for Ambassador Chris Stevens, who was murdered that night along with three other people. And then after that, she gets credit because of the amount of speeches she had to do. Boy, that must have been exhausting. Poor woman. Okay, now, Tim, no thinking person could take that stuff seriously. Okay, so she sat there. So she took the grilling. So she took it for hours. I have to say, so what? I have to say, big deal. She deserves far more than a grilling interrogation. She deserves jail. She had done an abysmal job as Secretary of State, and four people under her authority are dead. Now, that itself isn't a reason to go to jail. Sometimes people make mistakes. But if she got 600 pleas to be moved to safety, including many that evening, and if people were actually ordered to stand down, and if they then covered this up to make it look like it was something it wasn't, well, then that's why she deserves to go to jail. More jail, more Hillary, more of the Bob Siegel Show coming up.
Bob now at 888-344-1170. That's toll free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
So, more beautiful.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
back to 1170 The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. I was reading a comment from Tim who responded to one of my tweets about the whole Benghazi hearing thing. And he said it was a victory, really, for Hillary. He didn't comment on himself on whether he believes Hillary or not, but he was making a political observation. Politically, he's right. If you look at all the press up there, they're saying, whoa, great day for Hillary. And I'm pointing out little things like she was caught in lies. I'm pointing out little things like she didn't answer any candid question. And the committee read out loud in the hearing several emails, one that Hillary wrote her daughter the night of the attack, one that she wrote the head of Libya the night of the attack, very close to what was happening, one that she wrote the president of Egypt the next day. She made it clear in those emails that she knew this had nothing to do with a video about Mohammed, that it was an organized terror attack by a group that was very similar to Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda derivative, in fact. Very clear. And she did not deny in there under oath that she had done that. And but now why? Why would they change that? Well, apparently it didn't fit the Obama narrative of Al-Qaeda being on the run. Remember, this was an election year. So it didn't fit that narrative, those emails that Hillary thought nobody else was ever going to see. But it was the truth. By email, she was a candid Hillary. In public, she was the Hillary we've come to know so well. And when asked why, after knowing the real reason our compound was attacked, why she and President Obama still spread this false narrative, and I should say, I hold the president even more responsible than her, why they did this, claiming that instead of it being an Al-Qaeda-like group, it was a spontaneous violence due to a video, Hillary Clinton had no answer for the committee other than to try to say that she never really spread the video narrative in so many words. Ladies and gentlemen, she's on video. We can watch it. And then she says, well, if you look at my words carefully, I wasn't really saying that. And actually, maybe the video was kind of sort of related anyway. Folks, this was a disgrace. And this from a person who wants to be our president? And so, Tim, I agree that politically, this may go better for Hillary. Such is the nature of politics. That was the whole point of my tweet, the irony of that. But the more important point was that if Hillary gets kudos from mainstream media pundits for her demeanor, while facts are being ignored, that tells me that our country is in a very precarious state. But I do want to thank you for your comment, Tim. It's always good to hear from you, my friend. Ladies and gentlemen, in her previous hearing, Hillary had kept shouting, what difference does it make how they died? Maybe people were out for a walk and they decided to attack. Maybe it was a video. Maybe it was a terror attack. What difference is it? Possibly she shouted them down, tried to get out of it by showing this alleged outrage. Well, Madam Secretary of State, to the families of the victims who heard you and President Obama lie through your teeth and blame this terrorist attack on a video, it makes a big difference. And Madam Secretary, if it didn't really make a difference why it happened, then why did you feel you had to make up a story? Evidently, the reason was very important to you, and you didn't want them to know the real reason. That's why you made up a story. So to you, it made a big difference. Don't go lecturing people with the question, what difference does it make? You looked the parents of these people that died in the eye, promising to bring the director of a video to justice. That's how we responded to a terrorist attack. We're going to bring the director of a video to justice. As if that director wouldn't have had a First Amendment right to freedom of speech, even if that video had been the reason for the attack. Even if that were the case, it wasn't. But even if that were the case, what America desperately needs from a President Obama or a potential President Hillary Clinton is somebody to take a stand against evil, to stop coddling our enemies and apologizing to the world for the video. We need leaders to say, we are Americans, our citizens are free. They will say whatever they want about Mohammed, about the Quran, about any other religion or belief. And if you so much as touch, and I mean if you so much as even touch one of our citizens abroad, we will blame not the video. We will blame you, and we will come after you. Make no mistake. That's what a president says after he's visited the land of Oz, spoken to the wizard, and gained some courage. But in the land of Benghazi, it wasn't about the video. Anyway, you know as much, Madam Secretary, and you lied like Pinocchio. The fact that people are still willing to call this interrogation a victory for you is just a sad, tragic commentary on the pitiful state of our nation. God help us. Well, folks, I'm just warming up because now I get to the comment. Tim, at least there's this mutual respect. Now we get to the comment that will serve as an example of my subject for the day. The next is a response from a man named Bruce. Now, I am a truthful person, so let me tell you immediately. That's not actually true. His name isn't Bruce. I just changed it, but I did it for a reason. But I'm admitting it. That is not his real name, but he was invited to debate me over the air after he made his comment. He declined. That's fine. Debates are not for everybody. His reason for saying he wasn't going to be in the debate is what I take issue with, not the fact that he turned it down. Debates aren't for anybody, but before we even get there, since he declined to debate and since I'm going to comment on his response anyway, to be fair to him, out of respect, I will not use his name. Also, I know this guy. He's a high school alumni. I know him. I actually believe that this person will be or has the potential to be thoughtful enough that someday he may regret having said the things he said. So if I go bandying about his name over the air, you know what could happen these days. It finds a happy home on YouTube and you never shake it. I mean, the media can be very forgiving. So I'm going to give him a break. I'm going to extend a little bit of grace and not use his name because the day may come where he doesn't want his name associated with the things he said, or maybe he'll own them the rest of his life. I don't know. That's up to him. But I want to give him a little bit of break. So anyway, here's Bruce's response. Now, hold on to your seat. I'm calling Hillary a liar and lamenting that the mainstream media is giving her kudos. What do you suppose Bruce wrote? It's just one line. It's from the Bible. Starts with a J, ends with a D. You want to try it for five? I'll try judging for five, Johnny. Yes, sir. He said, judge not lest you be judged. I was so surprised that somebody wrote that. What did I write in response to judge not lest you be judged? Well, you can judge and guess for yourself, and we'll be right back. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539. W&S Electric.
Christmas is right around the corner, and Bob Siegel's new novel, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, is available. What better gift can parents or grandparents offer to their children than a story which promotes Judeo-Christian values? But don't look for anybody standing on a soapbox. Instead, the message is presented through an exciting, humorous, entertaining, fantasy adventure with a talking cat and a magic ornament that grants wishes, but only at the expense of causing a lot of trouble. By the way, adults have loved this book as much as kids, so it will actually make a great Christmas gift for anyone you know. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
So I read some things about Hillary, calling her a liar. Does that sound severe? Ladies and gentlemen, it seems she is. Those are the facts of the matter. However, somebody wrote, judge not, lest you be judged, thinking that's going to especially get me because I'm on Facebook. And in my bio, it says I'm not only a Christian, but a Christian minister. And So he wrote, "Judge not, lest you be judged. I'm calling him Bruce. I'm changing his name. I wrote this in response." And we had a huge exchange, so I need to tell you right away, you're not going to hear all of it, but I'm going to give you some highlights. But this is the very first thing that I said in response. "That verse is taken out of context, Bruce. Jesus was saying that one who does not admit their own sin must not judge. But Jesus spoke against evil and commanded his followers to do the same. And there are judgments we are commanded to make in 1 Corinthians. Also, the moment somebody tells another that it is wrong to judge, they themselves have made a judgment. They are saying it is wrong to judge." So you see, we all make judgments. The question is whether or not a particular judgment is appropriate or not. If Hillary is a liar, she should be called as such, especially if she is seeking election as president. Well, then Bruce went on to say that he saw no spirituality in my post. When he said that, I invited him to do a debate on the air. Now, I've explained before, but let me explain again why I will do that. I don't have time for lengthy debates over Facebook because they never end. They never end. And in the time I'm taking to type out things, I could keep writing another whole article. And I'm supposed to write an article or two a week for my column, so I'd rather spend that time writing the article. Also, in person, people just have better conversations. People posture over the internet. They say things they might not have meant over the internet. So I'll invite them to do a debate. Occasionally, people have agreed to do it, but either way, it ends a conversation that would never have ended anyway. Here are the exact words of my invitation to Bruce. "Your claim that you do not see the spirituality in this post sounds especially judgmental, doesn't it? I challenge you to make a case biblically and spiritually that those who follow God are not to point out evil. You are welcome to come on my radio show and debate this with me. That is a sincere invitation. You will be treated respectfully, but these kinds of conversations are better settled in real-time discussion. What do you say? We can have you on by phone." This was his exact answer. "No thanks, Bob. It all sounds very judgmental and hateful to me. Thanks anyway, though." And then I noticed at other times, words like hate were peppered with some politeness. "So it sounds very hateful, Bob, but thanks anyway. Sounds very hateful, but may the love of Christ bless you. Sounds very hateful, but have a nice..." It's almost as if you put on something friendly at the end of the sentence. We're supposed to ignore what you said earlier, but he was calling me both judgmental and hateful. A guy whose original comment is that we shouldn't judge has judged me as hateful. And why? Because he's a mind reader? Because he's familiar with the totality of my ministry? No, because I spoke out against a public figure who lied. How sad that this man says this in the name of Christianity. Now, Bruce does claim to be a Christian, and I don't dispute the claim. I don't know. That's between him and God. I can't see inside his heart. He probably means well. I don't know his motives. I don't know his heart, even though he claims to know mine based upon a few comments I wrote on a Facebook page. But this person is unfortunately a very common example of a trend going on today. You see, expressing concern that a woman who wants to be our president not only lied, but lied to the families of the victims, expressing such a concern these days means you are likely to hear a fellow Christian call you unspiritual. That's about as helpful as autocorrect. I'm trying to type a fictitious piece with characters that talk in slang and the computer helps me. I'm saying, don't help. Don't help. Yeah. Yeah. I'm unspiritual. I'm unhateful, according to Bruce, or I'm hateful, according to Bruce, hateful and unspiritual. And of course, he's making that kind of snap judgment. That, of course, is supposed to be an example of a loving and genuine spirituality. My friends, we live in strange times. Isaiah the prophet warned of the time when people would call evil good and good evil. And how about switching the subject a little bit but staying on Hillary? And this has nothing to do with Bruce. When Christians speak up against Hillary Clinton's endorsement of Planned Parenthood, even with the scandal of them selling baby parts of aborted fetuses, late-term fetuses, Planned Parenthood, started by Margaret Sanger, who believed in genetic superior breeding, who made the most racist statements about African Americans and wanted to breed them out of our society, who allowed, she was in the 30s doing this, she allowed Hitler's eugenicist to write an article for her magazine. Christians speak up about that, and they're called chauvinistic. You just don't believe in a woman's right to choose. You just don't want a woman president. Never mind that we support Carly Fiorina for president. Never mind that our concern might be for the poor, helpless babies. Never mind that we want to shut down an organization whose foundation shared ideas with Nazi eugenicists. And speaking of the Nazis, we look back now with disdain and shame that so many churches in Hitler's Nazi Germany sat back and said nothing and did nothing. Not all of them. Not all of them. There was eventually an underground church called the Confessional Church with a few heroes like Dietrich Bonhoeffer who did speak out, who died for their beliefs. But can you just imagine? Imagine being one of the Christians to speak out when the Nazis were first on the rise, when there was at least a semblance of free speech left before Hitler shut it all down. Just imagine yourself in those days speaking against what Hitler is saying, speaking against what Hitler is advocating, and a fellow Christian says, "Whoa, buddy, pal, where is the love of Christ? Not seeing a lot of love here. Judge not, lest you be judged." When I've been critical of our president, I've heard people say, "Well, you got to still respect the office of president. You got to still respect that." I mean, again, imagine you're in Germany. You're talking about Hitler. Well, you got to still respect the role of chancellor, don't you? Okay, so Hitler talks about taking all the Jews' property away and killing them, but you got to at least respect the role of chancellor. In Jesus' day, the role you respected was the role of rabbi, the role of priest, the role of Pharisee, the role of Sadducee. Did Jesus respect them? In Matthew 23, you read that. Those of you who say that Jesus would never be judgmental, he called them snakes. He called the leaders of his day a brood of vipers. He called them whitewashed tombs with dead bones inside. If he came today and spoke that way to somebody, some Christian would come up and say, "Jesus, buddy, you need to learn the love of Christ." Got to see the irony. So let's talk now. Let's go back and let's look at the theology of judging. Here's the verse that everybody always quotes. It's Matthew chapter 7. It starts with the very first verse. I'm reading from Matthew 7, 1 through 5. And we're going to do something people seldom do. We're going to read it in context. Jesus talking, it was part of his Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Okay, now if that's all he said, that would be pretty serious, but he went on and he gave an analogy. He says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." In other words, if you haven't judged yourself a sinner, and the Bible defines sin as selfishness, if you haven't judged yourself a sinner, but you're calling somebody else a sinner, that's like seeing a speck in somebody's eye, but you have a plank in your own eye. Are we never to judge other people as sinners? That's not what he's saying. He says we're never to judge other people as sinners unless we first judged ourselves. After we've judged ourselves, you've taken the plank out of your eye, you will see clearly. But that's not all the Bible says about judgment. More judgment when we return to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel. Looking for a church? Maybe not. Perhaps you've had your fill of churches. Maybe you even grew up in the church. Maybe as a kid you were dragged to Sunday school against your will. Maybe you used to throw spit wads as Mrs. Pumpernickel tried desperately to interest you in the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. You may have grown up listening to long sermons, anxiously looking at your watch to see how much of the game you were missing at home on TV as the pastor made his 97th point. Or perhaps you were not raised as a Christian at all. Instead, you have merely encountered Christians. Maybe some obnoxious personality tried to shove the gospel down your throat using all the tact of a lawnmower in a barber shop. Well, my friend, perfect Christians don't exist because perfect people don't exist. That's why Jesus died for our sins. So I'm not going to tell you that the people of Skyline Church are perfect. I'm just going to tell you that we come real close. No. Actually, you'll just find people who struggle with life the same as you. But we're honest about the struggle, and we help each other with the struggle. What you will find is a church that takes the love of Jesus Christ seriously. After all, his message is one of mercy and inclusion, and we don't need 97 points to talk about God. Ask anybody. Our sermons have never made more than 96 points. Skyline Church at 94 in Hamishaw, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Judgment. Does the Bible forbid us to judge? It forbids some kinds of judgments. It commands other kind. If you haven't judged yourself as a sinner, but you're going around calling other people sinner, that's a problem. If you have judged yourself a sinner and you're telling people, Jesus forgave my sins, he could forgive yours, well, that's very appropriate. And Jesus also, as I pointed out, spoke out against some of the evil leaders in his day. So calling out a political figure or a tyrant or a liar, that's very appropriate. But there are some other scriptures that forbid judgment. Romans 2:1 says, "You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on somewhere else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you pass judgment and do the same things." In the context there, Romans chapter 2, Paul's talking about the fact that we all have a conscience. And he says, even people that have never read the Bible, they have a conscience. And he says, through the conscience, God can communicate with man directly, and we know right from wrong. And you go around saying that other people are doing things, but you're always walking with God. Well, your conscience will condemn you. Now, this is also a problem within the church. Sometimes even Christians who've admitted that they're sinful, they still get a little bit conceited and arrogant about their own spirituality. In the Church of Rome and in the Church of Corinth, there was a lot of disagreement from amongst Christians. Some people were saying, "I won't eat meat that was offered to an idol," because in those days, an animal that was sacrificed to an idol, the priest took some of it, burned some of it, and then it got sold in the open market. So if you went and bought a steak at the store, it could have been offered to an idol. Some Christian says, look, just because I'm eating a piece of meat doesn't mean I believe in the idols. But other Christians were getting very sanctimonious about it and saying you shouldn't even be associated with an idol in any way. Paul came out and said, for the record, as long as you're not really returning to that worship, that's fine. But you know, there might be somebody who was so much into idol worship before they got saved that by them eating the meat, it's tempting them to worship idols again. So he says, basically, commend every person to their conscience and God. And he says something very interesting here, and here it is, an inappropriate judgment. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master, he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One of the greatest examples of this, and you've heard me talk about this before and write about this before, is I can't stand it when I'm in the middle of a worship service at a church and the worship leader stops and goes, you know, some of you look like wax statues out there. Some of you aren't smiling. Some of you aren't lifting your hands in praise. And they're being very judgmental. Somebody could be having a great time worshiping God, or they could just be more reflective or pensive that day. And by outward appearance, they make this judgment on whether you're really worshiping God. That would be a modern day application. And there we do need Paul to say, okay, who are you to judge somebody else's servant? That's between him and God. And by the way, there is a sin in Timothy called the sin of being a busybody. That's somebody who offers unsolicited advice, such as one Christian's on Facebook making a political comment and another Christian comes along and offers the unsolicited advice of saying, "Ooh, brother, don't judge." See, that's actually the kind of judgment that was forbidden. My friend Bruce was actually practicing. I know he doesn't see it that way. And that's kind of sad to me, but perhaps someday he will. Now, there's another kind of judgment if the facts aren't in yet. 1 Corinthians 4:5, Paul says, "Therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God." So if there's something in somebody's heart that we can't see, we're to wait till judgment day. If there's something that the facts bear out prior to that, there was such a thing, and it was allowed in the Bible and all over the Old and the New Testament as taking things to court. Now, in the case of Hillary, if she spread that video story and it sounded fishy to some of us, but we still didn't know, I mean, boy, that sounds kind of fishy. They attacked an embassy because of a video. maybe she's lying. Well, it would be inappropriate and very unfair to her to call her a liar if the facts aren't in. Now, I should say that my friend Bruce did comment. I told you I wasn't able to read all our comments. To be very fair to him, he did comment in there, I don't know that she lied, and neither do you. Okay, well, Bruce, you may not know that she lied. I do know that she lied because I've looked at the facts. I think they're available for you or for anybody, but okay, if you're not convinced, you're not convinced. He did go on, though, ladies and gentlemen, to say that I shouldn't really be making political comments at all, and instead I should try sharing the love of Christ with people. Now, I've been doing that for years. I've led hundreds to Christ. Politics is a very small part of what I do. On the radio show, it's about 50-50 at times, sometimes 70-20, sometimes much less. But if you go to my website and read about all the totalities of ministry, or just go to my articles, there's like 10 different categories. One of them is politics. And then there's all kinds of things like other religions and theology and Israel and my test. I don't expect that Bruce would have known that. I don't expect everybody to be familiar with my website. I do expect that somebody not make such a sweeping assumption and assume that because you're talking about politics on Facebook, that somehow that's all you do and you never talk to people about the love of Christ. Like, wow, there's an idea, Bruce. Talk about the love of Christ. I would have never known that if you hadn't said, here, let me write that down. And the fact that this is coming from somebody who's claiming that we don't judge, and it's such an incredible judgment. Well, I consider that very ironic. Now, here's a judgment that was actually commanded in the scripture. 1 Corinthians 6:1-11. This is Paul talking. It is, if any of you has a dispute with another, dare he take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the saints. Saints were just defined as anybody that was a Christian. I know these days we think in the Catholic Church, certain people get canonized as saints, but saints meant Christians. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the things in this life? Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, appoint as judges even men of little account in the church. I say this to shame you. Is it possible there is nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between unbelievers? So he's commanding them to judge. A couple of other verses. Paul was also concerned when the church went ahead and judged people in ways that was inappropriate. I've already mentioned that one in Romans 14, where he says, who are you to judge another man's servant? But then finally, Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, something very interesting. He says, if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. Well, I'm coming under judgment because I was about to bring Dana on at the end of this break, but I didn't make it, so I'll bring her back at the top of the next segment. My wife, Dana, and I, we're going to continue and share some stories about Florida that we started last week. We're going to get off all this judgment self, and we're going to talk about Florida.
This is Bob Siegel. Look, I admit it, I'm not tech savvy at all, but at least I'm savvy enough to know how to keep technology working for me. Even as a writer and radio talk show host, two careers far more related to the arts and the sciences, I am on my computer all day long. That means I need a computer that behaves itself. So when I do encounter problems, I call BitLogic. BitLogic can repair your personal computer. They also offer IT consulting for your small business. Is your computer doing something weird that you couldn't even begin to describe, let alone fix? Or maybe you're looking ahead, wanting to keep your small business systems running smoothly. BitLogic can help. Find them online at bitlogicit.com or call them at 619-333-6873. That's bitlogicit.com or 619-333-6873. Right now, mention the Bob Siegel Show and receive a 10% discount off any service. Got complex problems? BitLogic has simple solutions. How's that for making the obvious obvious?
Not sure when to try an unusual new novel? Let the customers speak for themselves. Here is another Amazon customer review for Bob Siegel's latest book, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. While there is nothing in this book that would stop you from giving it to or reading it to your kids, this book will certainly hold an adult's interest as well. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has it all. Magic, talking cats, bullies who get their comeuppance, fun dialogue, and a good story. Do not let the title fool you. While Christmas does play a prominent role, this is really not a Christmas story, and it can be read at any time of the year, except February 31st. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Last week, as we returned to our heroes and heroines in the Florida saga, Dana and I were completing our honeymoon, having gone out to Disney World, and we shared some interesting things about Payless, let me tell you the name again, Payless Car Rental, and how they were just trying to rook us. We won't go through all of that again. You can still hear that show post on my website. But Dana, you had an interesting story to tell about the guy who shuttled us back, and we did get into it a little bit last week. But we were racing against time, and I think we need to give this guy justice. Now, this guy's name is Bruce, too. The other guy that I was arguing with on Facebook, that was a nickname I gave him. That wasn't his real name. Here's a guy who was honestly, truly named Bruce. So we don't want to confuse the audience. This is a Bruce that we had a more pleasant encounter with.
He was a great guy. The best part of this whole thing, it was worth going through all the frustration and everything that happened at the car rental place just to meet him. And his delightful, he just was a delightful man, caring. He really did want people to have a good time when they came on their trips. And he was just waiting to take people back and then advise
waiting
them on how to do a better job.
Because he knew the bad service
were going to they were going to come out. And it was amazing.
And he knew they'd want to go back to the airport to find another
car
rental. Yes,
and we're 10 minutes away from
the
airport.
He waits around for the people he just dropped off because he knows how horrible the service is of this.
Yeah, he is so nice. And then he just waits and he fills it. Bob and I took the last two seats in this 15-passenger van. And he hauled us back to the airport. And as we're going back, he's just relaying all these unbelievable stories about what happens. And he didn't have anything to lose because he was just a temporary employee. He's only there for a few months to have dental surgery. So it's just a job he's doing to help out.
Plus, it's a thrifty little enterprise. He gets tipped both directions.
He does.
Dropping them off and gets tipped again, taking them back to the airport.
But he really did care.
He deserved it.
He did.
I was happy to tip him twice.
Yes,
I really was.
He really did care. He informed us that we were the 12th client he had taken back to the airport that day. And he counts. Every day he counts. And then when he dropped us off, he was so sweet. He took our luggage out. We were the last ones into the van.
He recommended
a better
place.
Waited. Yeah, he made us wait. And then he just gave us all the information we needed to go on and have a great rest of the trip. And we did after that. So thank you to him. He made our Payless painful experience
We should mention the name of the better company. We should do something positive here. What was the company we did?
Easy Advantage Car Rental did a great job. And when they heard our situation, we shared a little bit about it. They were fabulous. They actually gave us a discount on a car. They gave us a full size, but only charged us midsize. And they did right by us. They were really good, but they were kind of laughing at our story too and how bad it was. I think Payless might be well known out there, but I'm not sure.
And then when we tried to check into the hotel, that was an interesting story.
It was. We get there and we can't find it. It takes us about 20 minutes to find it because everything's blacked out. Turns out the lobby was even blacked out and they had lanterns.
Well, and other buildings on the street, not just a hotel.
Yeah. So we could, it's a resort. So it's got kind of winding roads and little inlet and you couldn't tell where you were if you weren't familiar with it. So we get in there. They're doing their work by lantern light. The whole lobby is full of guests waiting to check in and they tell us eventually we can't check in, obviously, because the computers aren't working. So we did drive down the road a bit where power was still on, had a dinner. And by the time we came back, they were able to check us in. But that whole evening, the flight was fabulous. And from the moment we touched down, the car rental, driving to the hotel and then not being able to find the hotel and then finding out they're blacked out. Yeah, that was an interesting evening, but we finally did get to and then they gave us a beautiful suite in exchange for the inconvenience of not being able to check in. So we had this beautiful top floor suite that overlooked a forest.
It's funny how incremental it was. When we got there, they said, well, our computers are down. Well, can we at least go to our room? Well, sure, you can go to your room. Does the elevator work? No, the elevator doesn't work. Take the stairs. Well, is there any lights? Can we use any TV? Well, no, you can't.
But I you didn't can still care go at up there. Point.
By this time, somebody comes along and says, actually, sir, we're just not checking anybody. And I'm like, one might have said. But, you know, between the drama that we had with Mr. Haney from Green Acres trying to sell us the car at Payless and all that they were going through, going back to the airport, finding the new car, finding Payless in the first place, which was 10 minutes off site, going to the hotel, then having to go away and have dinner. I think we could have hopped in the car from San Diego and gotten there quicker. The plane trip was clean as a whistle, but from the airport to check into the hotel, we'd have done quicker hopping.
But the rest of the week was fabulous.
It was. We had a great time. And we're going to put off talking about Disney World till Nick gets a chance to go, and then we'll all talk about it together, Nick and his wife. But there was something else very personal to me. I was born in Florida. I lived there till I was 5 years old. And I'm a real person of the past. I love going back to old neighborhoods. I've been back to every old neighborhood and every old school. We moved when I was five, soon to turn six. We moved out to California. And I'd always wanted to go back to Florida. Now, as a traveling evangelist, I've been all over the country anyway. I've been to New England. I've actually been to Georgia three different times on trips. Had never been back to Florida before. We went back because of Disney World, but I wanted to go to my house. And I was telling Dana I could just kick myself because I had all this time to research it. I did not remember my address. I did remember the street. I remembered it was 178th Street. When we were little kids, our parents used to help us. It was almost like a little rhyme. Blup, 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 178th. So I remembered the 178th part. I knew I was born in Miami Beach. I didn't know the actual number, but I remembered that my house was by an alley. Now, when you're out here in California, you think after all these years, the house may not even exist anymore. It may be torn down. But my mother, who passed away in Israel just a couple of years ago, before she passed away, she went and visited her sister, who was at that time living in Florida and is not now. And she mentioned the house, and she said the alley is still there, and our house was right by an alley. So Dana was very helpful. We got out of the Google, and we found a house that had an alley on it. I remembered an elementary school within walking distance. We found one, and we thought this was it, but I wasn't absolutely sure. And then I started thinking, if only I could get into old records, go to the registries, look up my parents' names, but where they lived, what the county records were in the 1950s. And I knew they existed, but here we're on our honeemoon and we're in a hotel.
And it was the night before we were going to go to Miami.
When I'm doing all this. Yeah. And I had contacted my brother, and he couldn't remember. He remembered nothing. He was my younger brother. He remembered nothing about the address. But I had very vivid memories. And I remembered the name of every kid on our block. And I also remembered the name of my best friend, Ronnie. And I remembered he had a father named Marvin and a mother named Lucy. Even back then, I Love Lucy
it's
was on.
It's amazing you remember that.
Well, back then, you could watch, that's how old I am. You could watch I Love Lucy on TV and it wasn't a rerun. That's how old I am. But and their last name was Hertz, like the Hertz rental car. And I remembered that because Lucy on TV had friends Fred and Ethel Mertz, and I knew a Lucy Hertz. So the one family whose last name was helpful to know, I knew, and I knew that they lived at the end of the block. Suddenly I realized, okay, when I tried to go into county records of the past, you had to pay and you had to register. And I started thinking, if those friends of my parents, the Hertzes, if they're about the same age, they may have passed away. What if I found their obituaries? So I got up in the middle of the night. I found their obituaries. Marvin Hertz passed away in the year 2014. I'd have found him if I'd have gone there 1 year. Passed away 2 months after his followed his beloved wife, Lucy, succeeded by their beloved son, Ronnie. That was them. And I got all excited. And then Dana gets up. She goes, "You're still up." I said, I'm so excited. I'm going to have to come back next week and tell you what happened because it gets better. We found the woman who bought the house from my parents. This was absolutely verified. I felt like Alex Haley discovering Kunta Kinte and Roots, except I don't think anybody will buy my novel.
Definitely.
But it was very personal to me, and I'll tell you why it was so personal and why I felt so closer to God finding my house, and I'll tell you next week.
The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.